Welcome to Conversations with Owens Community College President, Dr. Dion D. Somerville. Welcome to the newest episode of the award-winning Conversations podcast. I'm Dr. Dion D. Somerville. Thank you for listening today. Whether this is your first time with us or if you're a longtime follower, we are so happy that you're joining us as we explore the issues and meet the people who are important to Northwest Ohio and to Owens Community College. Please enjoy our previous episodes and subscribe to Conversations to join us for future episodes. Today, I am so excited to welcome Arturo Polizzi, President and CEO of ProMedica, a leading not-for-profit healthcare system headquartered in Toledo, Ohio. A first-generation college student, Arturo's journey began at Miami University, where he earned his Bachelor of Science in Business. He then went on to earn his law degree from the University of Toledo and later his MBA from the University of Michigan. Since assuming his current role in 2022, Polizzi has focused on stabilizing operations and driving strategic initiatives to ensure ProMedica's long-term success. Under his leadership, ProMedica continues to innovate in value-based care while navigating the rapidly changing healthcare landscape. A Cleveland native with 25-plus years of experience in healthcare, Polizzi is deeply committed to improving community health and economic vitality. Hi, Arturo, and thank you so much for being our guest today. Arturo, welcome to the Conversations podcast. I've been really looking forward to our conversation. ProMedica has been an important partner of ours for years, and so we're grateful that you were able to find an opportunity to join us.
Yeah, it's my pleasure to be here with you. Thank you.
One of the things we ask all of our guests is how you knew and decided that you needed education beyond high school. What was that journey like for you?
That's a great first question. You know, for me, it was really easy. My father decided for me.
That does make it easy.
My parents immigrated to the United States back in the early 70s and chasing the American dream. And high on their list of things for their kids was a really good education. And so it was really stressed in our family ever since I could remember. And my father went so far as to even picking my profession, you know, when I was a little kid. You know, he told me since I was probably 3 years old that I was going to be a lawyer. So I always had that in my head. But I always enjoyed school. I always enjoyed the learning environment. So it was, for me, a very easy decision. I've got a fair amount of education in my background, and that's because I love it. I just enjoy learning. I love the academic environment. But it was really, it came from my parents. They really valued education and instilled it in me at a very young age.
There's such a huge difference when you have a family that is not only supportive, but encouraging. And even if it may or may not be something that they had an opportunity to experience, it helps dissolve some of the roadblocks and barriers and doubt to know that this is a path forward for you.
That support structure is critical. And I had it, thankfully. So it was great. It was a great environment.
Now, you knew that you were going to become a lawyer, but that's not where you stayed. And so you have a couple of different higher education institutions that you call home. And then you went back to get your MBA. And so tell me what that career path was like and what were some of those decision points along the way throughout your career?
I started my undergrad at Miami of Ohio, and I was in the business school there. And they have a great business school, the Farmer School of Business, and really enjoyed it. I just really ate up the curriculum. And even though I knew I was going to law school post Miami, I wanted to think about corporate law. So being in the business school at Miami, and I got some exposure to business law at Miami, was really, really helpful for me. And from there, I went to the University of Toledo for law school, and just great environment there and really taught me critical thinking skills. And, you know, healthcare is a really complex business. And I really think those critical thinking skills serve me well each and every day, almost in every conversation that I'm in. And so that was really, you know, the foundation for my career was really those two things, the business school at Miami and then law school at UT. And I was at ProMedica. My first job there was as an in-house lawyer. And I actually started as an intern. It's a funny story now, but my parents were pretty upset because I had just passed the bar exam and I accepted this job. And I was technically an intern, a legal intern. And my father was like, you know, I just paid for law school. You just passed the bar exam. You're a licensed attorney. You just took a job as an intern. And I said, you know, I really like this place. I think it's going to work out. So the story now, so the story now sounds pretty good. You know, I guess it could have gone a couple of different ways. But, you know, in the legal department at ProMedica at that time, I was just really fortunate to be the benefactor of good timing. At that time, ProMedica was pretty small. It was really just Toledo Hospital and Flower Hospital. But over the next 10 years, as I was in the legal department, we mushroomed. We acquired a bunch of different hospitals, a bunch of different businesses, and I was the benefactor of being in the mix on all of it. The legal department was really fertile learning ground.
Right.
And not only did I get a lot of great legal experience, but I got exposure to a lot of great executives and mentors. And those mentors were critical for me. For the pivots, as you said, that I had in my career was because of those mentors. You know, my predecessor at ProMedica, Randy Ostra, was a strong mentor of mine, really encouraged me. Then after 13 years in the legal department to, hey, you know, do you want to try some other stuff? Maybe you should think about getting your MBA. And it was really at his encouragement that I went to U of M to get my MBA. He gave me opportunities throughout ProMedica thereafter where I got into operations and really never looked back. So I got out of the practice of law, got more into the operations side. And that MBA at U of M was critical because I couldn't function at the level I'm functioning now without that financial education that I received at that time at U of M. So it was critical. I mean, all those things that I learned at Miami, UT Law, and then U of M kind of culminate in a high-level job in a really complex environment. You just need all of that background to be successful, in my opinion.
It's really neat to hear you talk about the convergence of, you know, not only your upbringing and that family experience, but your educational experience, the different positions and roles that you had, and the mentoring, the relationships. And I think a lot of times people don't often realize how important those are and how people can be in your corner sometimes without you even knowing it, or be encouraging and sometimes see things in you that you hadn't even realized were opportunities or strengths or whatever the case may be. And it really becomes an integral part of how you move forward.
Absolutely agree. Those pushes help. Sometimes we need to be pushed to think outside the box.
So you were in a variety of different roles. You talked about starting in the legal area, moving into operations, and then CEO in 2022. What an interesting time to become CEO of ProMedica, you know, as we're kind of in the tail end of a pandemic. What was that like for you?
It was difficult. I joke with my wife, you know, that I should have asked more questions before accepting the job. But it was very challenging. We were coming out of COVID. So it was this COVID hangover and all the workforce issues that came with COVID. On top of that, the global economy was crazy and inflation was out of control. We had two of the industries inside of ProMedica that got hit very hard by COVID, between the hospitals and nursing homes. And it was a really stressful environment. When I took over, what I found critical was just the need to create a plan that people would believe in and start to communicate really well with the organization, because there was a lot of stress in the environment. There was a lot of fear in the environment. I felt it was my job as the new CEO to set the right tone to get things back on track. So it was tough. It was really tough. But we put a plan in place, a restructuring plan. It was very aggressive. We had to do some really tough things. We had to divest some businesses. You know, it's never easy to do when you're saying goodbye, you know, to people that you've worked with for years who are going off with a different employer. You know, we're proud of the fact that a majority of those employees who are with us found employment with a successor organization. So that was really good. But it's still, it's really challenging. But the mantra that I had and I used all the time was, we have a plan, we're working the plan is working. And I found that you just couldn't communicate enough.
Right.
And it was difficult. But what I also found was, if you're clear and you deliver the tough news frankly and honestly, that people respect that and will line up behind you and follow. The team did. And the culture was so strong and so unified that it worked. And there's a lot of power in that unification.
In the last few years, I've had the opportunity to meet several employees at ProMedica, you know, in your more senior level and executive ranks. And every last one of them loves ProMedica. And so there's really something there about the commitment. And, you know, when you think of the last few years and you think where we are now, it's during that time of all that change. And so there's something to be said for how you managed this incredible scale of change that was happening, pandemic, economy, all of those things, plus the changes in ProMedica, to still have a senior administration that is devoted and committed to ProMedica. And so you talked about communication, you talked about being open and honest, business, what were some of the things that you felt were most important for your strategy for change management? Was it those things? Were there things in addition?
I think it's empathy. When you're going through tough times, and having the empathy to understand that everyone's going through it together and talking about it that way and acknowledging it, I think it helps heal as you go through the change. It's hard, though. You know, when you have an organization, even now that we've downsized a bit, we are a huge company. We're still close to 20,000 employees. It's hard to communicate a message to 20,000 employees, so you got to rely on your leaders. So the other reflection I would have is leadership matters. Our leadership team is second to none, and they embraced the challenge. I relied on them to carry the message all the way down to the front lines. I try to do that myself, but I can't. You know, I can't, and I can't do it every day. So I have to rely on our leadership team. So those couple of things, I think empathy, having the right leaders in place, because the opposite can be true too. If you have the wrong leaders in place delivering a bad message or a different message, it can really put a wrench in the works. We had a really good unified team working towards a solution, and that was critical. So to end this question, I would say it's some gratitude to the people at the organization who lead our teams. They were fantastic.
When you think about how messages evolve, depending on the lens of the person who's delivering the message, to have that level of alignment throughout any organization, much less one as big as ProMedica, is huge.
Something I'd add to that too is our physicians and our advanced practice providers. They're leaders inside the organization. So they're part of that messaging too that was really helpful. They were unified. Without that group being unified throughout this, we wouldn't be in the great shape we're in now. So those physicians, nurse practitioners, physician assistants, really everyone on our medical staff, all of our caregivers, they're leaders too and really helped push us through.
That is amazing. ProMedica has a very long, proud history.
Yes.
And so the ProMedica Toledo Hospital just celebrated 150 years. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And can you tell us a little bit about that accomplishment? I mean, there were the commercials and that were wonderful, the history and all of that. But that's really a big deal to be able to have 150 years. But more importantly, what did that milestone symbolize for ProMedica?
It was very meaningful, especially coming out of the challenges we just discussed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being able to celebrate something that significant, was the timing couldn't have been better. So It was very significant for our entire organization. What it says to me about Toledo Hospital are a couple of things. You have to have the right culture to survive that long, which includes a willingness and an ability to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what healthcare looks like today versus what it looked like 10 years ago, let alone 150 years ago, is much different. And the culture at Toledo Hospital really allows evolution to happen every day, clinically, from even business operations. You know, everything changes. You know, you know the drill.
Absolutely.
So it's a journey, and what we're able to do today with the advances in medicine are incredible. But you can't get to those advances if you don't have the right mindset and you have the right culture. So that to me is how we got here. As far as how meaningful it is, it's just incredible for our organization. You know, we consider ourselves an anchor institution in Toledo. We're biggest employer in town. That's all driven out of the Toledo Hospital. ProMedica itself was born out of the Toledo Hospital. The idea of ProMedica was born out of Toledo Hospital. So it's incredibly significant to Northwest Ohio and Southeast Michigan. So when you think about it in those terms, it's inspiring.
It truly is. And to have the 150 years, but to know that, you know, you talked about the evolution and, you know, depending on which pundit you want to listen to, you know, we're evolving at a faster pace when it comes to technology and medical advances and all of those things. As you kind of look ahead, what are going to be some of the forces that are going to impact the future of healthcare in our area?
Certainly technology. It's by far the number one thing that's changing the fastest in healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
Healthcare is actually an industry kind of like academics, but you can correct me if you disagree. That is typically slow to change. When you compare it to some other industries, healthcare is kind of slow to change. But the pace at which technology is changing now is forcing us to get faster.
Oh, absolutely.
Every day. So I think that for sure is going to force us to think differently going forward. There's not a day that goes by that I don't have at least two or three people tell me how their AI is going to solve every one of my problems.
Is that around the time that you say, oh, how do I delete this person from
yeah,
my email?
Yeah. So it sounds like you get hit up too. Uh-huh. Yeah. But I do think technology is a really, really big deal. And I think because healthcare sometimes is slow to change, we're slow to think about adopting new technologies. But that mindset's changing.
Mm-hmm.
It's changing because our whole world in this space is changing. That's the good side. The bad side of technology is it's scary as all get out when you think about like cyber attacks, for example, or ransomware attacks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to stay on top of that in a very big way. All of us do. Every business does. And it's expensive.
Very much so.
It's very expensive to stay on top of all of that. So I don't know. It's a really dynamic environment. It's exciting. I think the opportunities are endless. I think technology is going to help in caregiving, like the care itself, in diagnoses, in providing care, in robotic surgery. AI is coming into the mix. It's going to help with patient experience. It's going to help with how you interact with your provider, how the provider interacts with you. It's going to help with reach. I think telemedicine provides a lot of opportunity with reach because what's happening now in the shortage of providers in healthcare, we're seeing this in our region, smaller hospitals are starting to close. So rural communities are starting to lose their hospitals, which what we've been doing in response to that is expanding our telemedicine capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of connectivity via telemedicine with regional hospitals or regional physicians even who might need a specialist but doesn't want to have their patient drive all the way to Toledo to get care. So there's a lot of opportunity there.
And it's really interesting because when you talk about these industries that are old as time itself, right, education and healthcare, one of the things that I think has helped us is when you bring people in, one, who are digital natives,
mm-hmm.
you know, you think about who our new and mid-level employees are, they're completely different and have a completely different mindset. And making sure that they have the level of agency to be able to contribute to the organization that really helps define where it is we're going and to help define the how. You care for people, you educate them, okay, but it's the how. And how can we be more responsive, or how can we make sure we're more inclusive and bringing people who may have not found a place at the table previously? And so I have hope when I think of who our newer folks are, or even people who come from outside
yep.
our industries.
Yep.
I am a lifer in higher education. It is the only career I've had. And so as much as I try to be open-minded and everything, I know that this is what I've known. But if there are other people who come in who don't have that same level of depth or entrenchment, whatever it is you want to call it.
Yeah.
I think that makes us better as a result.
I completely agree. That diversity of thought is critical and we have to embrace it. We have to encourage it and embrace it and find it, encourage it and embrace it.
In that order.
Yeah, in that order.
So you mentioned the rural hospitals and there are some technological solutions. What are some of the other challenges in healthcare facing Northwest Ohio?
Well, I mentioned cyber. I think that's a challenge for all of us. The other big, big one is workforce. And I
mm-hmm.
think that's where relationships that we have with academic institutions like Owens really helps. Workforce shortages
mm-hmm.
in healthcare are here. They're real. And we had a lot of people during COVID just drop out of caregiving altogether that we're just now catching up on, literally just now catching up on. This past year in 2024, we made a lot of progress there, but it was a struggle catching up. The training of the next generation, I think, is really, really critical. I think workforce challenges are going to be here to stay. Another challenge for sure, while inflation isn't as bad as it was a year or two ago, our costs are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're buying really high-end medical equipment. Healthcare is just a really capital-intensive environment.
Mm-hmm.
So the equipment to stay state-of-the-art is really expensive. The drugs we purchase for our patients are really expensive. The devices, you know, the new hips, the new knees, you know, all of those things, keeping up with the pace of the cost associated with all of that forces us to be more and more efficient every day. So for us, it's how do we use that technology to make ourselves more efficient,
mm-hmm.
especially on the administrative stuff. We want to be great at the caregiving at the bedside. So the way we talk talk about it is, in order to give them what they need, the resources they need at the bedside to care for the patients, we on the administrative side have to be as efficient as we can with our supply chain, really with everything, human resources, you know, finance, all the administrative functions. Mm-hmm. We have to be as efficient as we can be. So really, those are kind of the big headwinds I see over the next few years. I joke all the time with our people that I think the only thing that every politician in the United States can agree on, I think the only thing is that healthcare is too expensive. And we recognize and acknowledge that. So we're working every day to try to keep our costs down, but recognizing all the things I just complained about.
It's the environment. And there is a cost to doing business. There's a cost to keeping the doors open and being able to deliver services. And I remember during the pandemic on the news, people who we all know, because we all know someone who's in the healthcare industry, and some of the challenges and the exodus of a lot of the caregivers, it was pretty stark. And one of the things that really is at the core of the partnership that Owens and ProMedica has is related to workforce development.
Yes.
We have well over a dozen health professions programs, and ProMedica has been a huge partner, you know, either serving on our advisory boards, a main source of clinical sites, and also as an employer. And so we very much value the relationship we had. And to me, one of the success stories that we've had very recently is about cardiac sonography, where ProMedica approached us and said, you know what, we can't train these people fast enough in-house. Can you help us? And so, of course, we had a school of, you know, nursing and health professions who jumped at the opportunity and said, absolutely, of course, we're happy to do this, and worked in partnership regarding the curriculum and moved it through development and the accreditation process.
Yeah.
And here, you know, when we received the notice that that program was accredited, literally within 2 days, it was full. But it's because of that kind of relationship and the pipeline and the partnership that we have with ProMedica made something like that possible. And so there you think of where you've had underrepresented populations in nursing. And so people who are not always there through the eBide scholarship program. There's just a number of things that we've been able to do together in partnership and workforce development that really mutually serves our missions. If part of what we do as a community college is help avail people to training and education opportunities in a meaningful way that helps serve their communities, you've been a huge partner because you need those people as part of your communities. And so we speak very plainly about the value of the relationship and partnership we've had with ProMedica. You know, our new healthcare education center grand opening, I mean, all of the things that make this very valuable for us. We want to thank you for that partnership because we think that that workforce development piece, new technologies, all of that are some of the things that we do well together.
Could not have said it any better.
Thank you.
Complete win-win, the partnership between ProMedica and Owens. And congrats, by the way, on the Healthcare Education Center.
I think
it's fantastic news for you. It's fantastic news for the community and for ProMedica too, frankly, because everything you just described is absolutely true. So I don't know if you're aware of this, but Owens is the number one source of recruitment for ProMedica RNs. We hire from Owens more than we do anyone else. And because you do such a great job training, because the relationship is so strong, and I don't think that need is going anywhere. I think, in fact, it's just going to continue to increase. Your new center, I think, is well positioned for success going forward. So we're really excited for that too. These are absolutely win-win scenarios. And it's not just, I'm glad you mentioned some of the other programs because I think we always, you know, default to just talking about RNs. It's not just RNs. There's a bunch of other certifications and technicians that you train that are critical in the healthcare delivery spectrum.
Absolutely.
So really, really important. You know, the radiology techs, the surgical techs, sonography, they're just huge. And there are jobs now that didn't exist 10 years ago in healthcare.
Absolutely.
So this is just going to continue to evolve. Mm-hmm. And retaining kids locally always serves us well as an employer because they're more likely to stay in town and we don't want that brain drain anyway.
That's right.
So we just couldn't agree more and we couldn't be more grateful for the relationship.
It's something that's very meaningful for us. And we realize that a lot of students will come to Owens because, to your point, they want to be a nurse and they don't realize the vast array of health professions that are there. And I'm sure the same thing happens to you. You're out in the community and someone mentions an idea for another one or yet a different one. And you have to kind of do the, you know, the calculation around it of, is this something that we can do and how would it be meaningful to our students and our community? But the opportunities are endless. And you think about the quality of people and how they're able to build an entire career. Your story, you talk about how you came in from legal operations to executive, and you were able to build a career through a healthcare system. And I think of so many students who may start off as a state test and nursing assistant, and then they become, you know, either a, you know, technologist or a LPN and move to RNBS. I mean, there's all these possibilities that you have for an entire career staying with one employer, and that's rare anymore.
It's very rare, but you said it really, really well. The opportunities are endless and great career track for folks.
As we talk a little bit about our partnership, one of the exciting things is with the Jefferson Center.
Yeah.
And so, first of all, I just absolutely love the building. The architecture is absolutely beautiful, but it reminds you of how we don't build buildings anymore. You know, to have a building that's well over 100 years old, but is still absolutely gorgeous and has retained a lot of that original character.
Absolutely.
And so for me, who I'm not native to Toledo, I've always been impressed with how ProMedica has a commitment to the community. And you talked a lot about the history and how that goes back. And so a lot of that goes hand in hand. And particularly being the largest employer, there's a lot of care for the community through your employees as well. And so can you talk a little bit about the vision for the Jefferson Center and really how that's reflective of ProMedica's ongoing commitment to the greater community?
We historically have done a fair amount of economic development activity in Toledo. And a few years ago, the Jefferson Center opportunity arose, and the original concept that we had a couple of years ago didn't come to pass, but having said that, what we're really excited about now is the fact that we've been able to open the building. We found an anchor tenant, which is fantastic. We're talking to community partners like Owens and others about opportunities there, and being able to activate that building and continue to provide economic development for the city of Toledo, especially downtown. I think downtown development has come a long way in the past 10 years. It's really exciting down there, especially with the residential moves that are happening in downtown. It's, you know, it's always full, and there's more coming on the residential side. So I think that's really fantastic. And the Jefferson Center on the north side of downtown, I think, is really going to add a whole positive impact. We're really excited to be able to do it. Even though we shifted a little bit from the original concept, what we've been able to accomplish now, I think, is fantastic.
It's more to that continued evolution, right?
Yes, yes. There you go. Ability to adapt. You got it.
We're excited because it's an opportunity. You know, when we did our feasibility study for the city of Toledo, Trellis, the organization, the research company, said that in order for this to be a sustainable venture, we had to look at targeted microsites. They looked at locations where there were population centers that were college ready. We talked about programs that led to jobs, current and future jobs in the area, but they also talked about partnerships and how partnerships would be necessary for our microsite model to survive. And so the synergy that that building itself creates, as well as proximity to some of the services that are at the E-Bide Center, as well as everything else that is either existing or coming in that area of downtown Toledo, make it really exciting. And it's a nice complement to what we're doing with the University of Toledo and Toledo Public Schools over at the Scott Park campus on the other end of town. And so we see it as a nice way to be able to bring very distinct educational programs within the city of Toledo proper. And ProMedica is a big part of that. And so the healthcare industry is hugely important to Northwest Ohio as a whole. The growth has been just really phenomenal. And you had mentioned before how ProMedica is Northwest Ohio's largest employer. Healthcare is one of our top three areas of enrollment. A lot of students find their way to Owens because they're interested in some sort of healthcare. And so I would love to hear your perspective. Are you projecting that the healthcare industry will continue to grow, or is it something that is changing or going to take a different path?
I absolutely think it's going to continue to grow. You know, there are kind of competing trends going on right now. We've got a decline in population, but the population demographic that's growing is 65 and older. And those are the ones that require healthcare and are going to continue to require healthcare. So we think the demand for services is only going to increase. We saw that in 2024. It was really a banner year for us with volumes, which is good and bad. It's bad for the community that we had to take care of so many people, but it speaks to the need for the services that ProMedica provides. You know, We did over 60,000 surgeries last year. Over 6,000 babies were born. We had 130,000 emergency room visits. Really, really busy. And the pace of all of those numbers, we are projecting to increase this year. So we don't see that slowing down. And what we're really trying to focus on now going forward is how do we continue to get better and more sophisticated by service line. So we kind of talk about ourselves in different service lines. I'm not going to name them all, but we've got pediatrics, orthopedics, oncology, neurosciences, heart. Those are some of the big ones. So we've challenged all of those areas to come back with plans for us on growth. Like, how are you going to absorb the growth, the needs out in the community? How can we serve? How can we partner with other institutions to help them? We do some coverage at other regional hospitals that are not part of ProMedica, but we try to help where we can, where they have needs and gaps. So we're here in Toledo. We're Northwest Ohio, Southeast Michigan. We're headquartered here. We're a strong local provider. And the money we make, it's reinvested right here in our region. So we're trying to make sure we're really strong and that we can continue to service the growth that I think we're going to see over the next few years. And the workforce pieces, just to claw back to that, go hand in glove with that, right? We really need to stay connected with our partners like Owens to make sure we're training the next generation of caregivers for all that care we're going to need to provide.
That's pretty amazing. In addition to those service lines, I know that ProMedica is also known for its holistic approach to healthcare. Yeah. And so there's a lot of discussion and research about social determinants of health, which are kind of those factors other than what you think of as ambulatory care, emergency care, like healthy foods, transportation, education, all of that. And we know that what we often think of as medical care isn't enough to sustain someone into better health outcomes. Can you talk a little bit about that and how ProMedica really has been on the forefront of addressing a lot of those concerns?
Absolutely. And this is really a credit to my predecessor, Randy Ostra. I mean, he was a pioneer in the social determinants of health work and really having healthcare systems lead that work in communities across the country. So we still carry on that legacy that he left for us. It is essential to take care of the whole person. There's only so much we can do, but we do a lot. We still do social determinants of health screenings to identify social needs of our patients. We have food clinics. Through those screenings, we identify that someone needs food. Mm-hmm. We're able to write a script, and we actually have food clinics where we hand food out. We do job training. We have a mobile care unit with the Ronald McDonald House. The mobile unit goes around and provides care to kids who need it. And we just recently opened behavioral health inpatient and outpatient units at Toledo Hospital for kids. So pediatric behavioral health. The state of Ohio recognized the need in behavioral health. You know, it's become quite stark over the past few years. But Governor DeWine gave us some grant money to open pediatric units here in town. So we just got those off the ground last year. They're new, but they're getting full real fast, unfortunately. But it's really fulfilling a need here. It's a big deal. So it's essential to take care of the whole person. We're doing the best we can there, and we're doing a fair amount, but it takes a village.
Yes,
it does. The community services, the other community organizations, the other nonprofits in town do a tremendous job too, and we're trying to coordinate with them as much as we can.
I appreciate the work that ProMedica has led regarding this, and even that in and of itself is in addition to the growth that you expect in healthcare and the growth that you've experienced. If you are a student who's considering healthcare as a career, what advice do you give them?
I would absolutely encourage it because it's fulfilling. It's really rewarding work. At the end of the day, you're helping people. Mm-hmm. It's mission-based. It feels good. It fills your heart. I don't think you can say that of every profession or career.
No.
That's what keeps me going. You get to work with really smart people. That's really nice. So it's noble work. I would encourage folks, because you get to work with smart people means you have to be smart yourself. So get your education. You know, it's really critical to continue to study. And like you said, I really like the way you framed up the career path within healthcare. You don't have to stop. I mean, you can keep going and continue to evolve your career however you wish, really, inside the healthcare space, both on the business side and on the clinical side. There's really a bunch of different facets that you can chase from a career perspective. So I think the need in our country is going to continue to grow. We need workers. So I'm going to absolutely encourage it.
Arturo, thank you so much for being on the Conversations podcast. I'm thrilled that you were able to join us, and I thoroughly enjoyed our conversation.
So did I. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Arturo, thank you so much for being with us today. I am so inspired by the work that you've done at ProMedica and your commitment to the health of our community. Thank you for all that you do. And thank you to all of our listeners. Please remember to subscribe and join us for future conversations. Until next time, take care.